bouncing my day.
Now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
You know, today's program, this is the today's podcast. This is the 15th of March, 2019. We have some announcements to make during the second hour, but what I started to say, my plan this morning, this first hour, was to talk about the student protests that have been going on around the planet in support of doing something about global warming. The protests are the fact that the adults are doing nothing. And the kids now have reached a point where they realize that they are going to die, premature deaths, and their children, if they have any, are going to suffocate. And the concept of grandchildren will be something that will be totally alien to them. So the kids, we're talking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, on up, year-old kids have taken it upon themselves to try to get the attention of the adult leaders of this tired, soon-to-be-destroyed planet, unless we do something. However, with that in mind, I woke up this morning to the news from New Zealand of a Trump-inspired killer who murdered 49 people, injured scores more. Now, before you say, what the fuck are you talking about, Trump-inspired? Well, let me quote what the killer has said. So many news items out this morning about this man. I'm telling you, the United States, if we continue to have this pig leading us, or in a position where the world thinks that he's leading us, this stuff is going to continue to happen. Trump is like a demon that has been vomited up from hell. The man who did the shooting, well, let me find it. Here it is. All right, let me just share this with you. First of all, the gunman who conducted the savage attack had a camera mounted to his head, and he live streamed this attack on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. And He began his slaughter, this violence, by casually making a reference to a current internet meme. He appeared to be fully aware of and steeped in the culture of the extreme right on the internet. In this country, 4chan, Breitbart, the rest of these shitholes of violence and sickness. And the terrible minutes of the video that followed, he proved himself to be a nonchalant, unrepentant killer. As of Friday night, it is now Saturday in New Zealand, of course, as of last night, the gunman had not been identified by the authorities, but just before the attack began, a man who said he was a 28-year-old from Australia published a link on a right-wing forum, a link to an 87-page manifesto, and another link on the same forum to a personal Facebook page with the video that would soon show up documenting this sick bastard slaughter. And based on the video, the manifesto, and social media post, authorities have begun to develop a picture of this crazy bastard who is primarily driven by white nationalism, just like Trump, and a desire to drive political and racial and cultural wedges between people across the globe, just like Trump. He said he hoped that would stoke discord eventually, more violence between the races, just like Trump and Limbaugh and Hannity and every single right-wing pig in this country that has access to a microphone. It is unclear, according to what I have here, whether the Facebook user is the man whom the authorities in New Zealand have charged in the shooting that left 49 people dead. They have said only that the suspect, I believe they have him in custody, is a man in his 20s. Australia's main public broadcaster reported that the Facebook user worked as a personal trainer at a gym in the city of Grafton after finishing school in 2009 for a couple of years, and then he left to travel overseas. It's not sure where he traveled, but apparently he spent some of his time in Europe. The gunman appeared to pair the shooting with the typical trolling tactics of the internet's most far-right instigators. And in doing so, he was playing to a community of like-minded supporters who cheered him on in real time as they watched the bodies pile up. Do you understand what I just said? This guy walked into a place of worship, Friday prayers, slaughtered people while he live streamed it, and live compliments and support were flooding into the Facebook page where he was live streaming this, cheering him on. And the manifesto states plainly what usually goes unstated by these internet troll demons, and that is, by design, the author wants to get everyone upset and arguing with each other. One of the goals of this bloodbath, this sick fuck wrote, was, quote, to agitate the political enemies of my people, white people, into action, to cause them to overextend their own hand and experience the eventual and inevitable backlash as a result. I want to incite violence, retaliation, and further divide. Now, this manifesto and the video and what appeared to be this sick fucker's social media post, it all features a typical white nationalist rhetoric with layer upon layer of garbage that makes it difficult to parse what is genuine and what this sick fuck just thought was funny. Yeah, funny. On his weapons, he wrote the names of centuries-old military leaders who led battles largely against non-white forces, along with the names of men. He had this written on his guns, the names of men who recently have carried out mass killings of Jews and Muslims. The manifesto refers to non-whites as invaders who threaten to replace white people, the same as what was chanted in Charlottesville, Virginia, a year and a half ago, if you'll remember. The author says he used guns because he wanted the United States to tear itself apart arguing over gun laws. And his choice of language and the specific memes that he used suggest a deep connection to the far-right online community. The link to the live stream video was first posted by 8chan, a sick sewer of maniacs on the internet, where after the slaughter was ended, the gunman was hailed as a hero. Some of his references were subtle. As he drove to the mosque, he listened to a song associated with the 1995 Serbian nationalist video, which has recently been co-opted as a racist meme. What might appear, it says here, to be a bizarre, rambling section of the manifesto was actually a relatively old meme known as Navy SEAL copypasta, a fake rant that is copied and pasted to indicate phony toughness. Other references in this guy's video were more mainstream. One reference was, "Subscribe to PewDiePie." That was the gunman's call at the beginning of the video, referring to the YouTube star whose real name is Felix Gjelberg. At times, the manifesto creates dubious associations with cultural figures that the killer knows to be lightning rods for criticism. He wrote that Candace Owens, a black conservative commentator in the United States, was most responsible for radicalizing him, a claim that seemed intended as a joke. He railed against diversity, praising non-diverse nations like China. And then he called Donald Trump, quote, "a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose," end quote. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, end quote. I don't know, but I'm guessing this is the first time a president of the United States has been used as a symbol of murder, of slaughtering people in a house of worship, because the president of the United States is a racist, white nationalist monster. And so I will ask the question again and again and again. How much longer are 330 million of us, minus the 60 million who think he is a leader, how much longer are we going to allow this to continue? What will it take? There are going to be bloodbaths in the United States. We are very close to it now. In my opinion, what happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, yesterday, is just a preview of what is being planned in this country right now. While we're focused on the illegal activities of every fucking human being associated with Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form, all of them, every one of them, while we're focused on that, the white nationalists, the racists, the Jew haters, the Muslim haters, in other words, the white Christians in this country, are arming, mobilizing, and getting ready for the next slaughter. And there's going to be a couple of enormous events in this country. You have to come to that conclusion from listening to the rhetoric that's out there. Trump is a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, quote unquote, a killer who slaughtered 49 people in a mosque. Trump, this Nazi fuck who is the head of the United States, Trump. Is nobody fucking paying attention to this? In one part of the manifesto, this Trump-loving mass killer asked himself, where did my research come from? Where did I develop my beliefs? He answered himself, quote, the internet, of course. You will not find the truth anywhere else, end quote. Trump. He called Trump, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, and then slaughtered 49 people. Trump. Donald Trump, who is inspiring every fucking racist mass killer, every mass killer of Jews, of people of color, of Muslims, Donald Trump is inspiring them. The President of the United States is inspiring, motivating white killers to take their weapons and slaughter as many people as they can. Donald Trump. Trump, the President of the United States. Do you fucking understand this? The President has become, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, end quote. Mass killers have aligned themselves with Trump, and Trump welcomes them. He welcomes them. Trump. So once again, I don't give a fuck how this makes you feel. If you refuse to vote in the last election because, well, I don't like either one of them, how do you feel now? I guess you remove yourself from any responsibility, you people that voted for Jill Stein, or you people who decided to not vote in the states where your vote was absolutely critical because of the racist electoral college that we have in this country. So even though Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million, you people in the key states where he got the electoral votes who sat on your asses and stayed home and allowed this fucking mass psychotic monster murderer Donald Trump to get into office? Do you make the connection between your action and what is happening now? Not just this mass killing, but all the shit that this monster is doing? No, you probably don't. You sick fuck, you probably don't. And I'm not going to vote for Hillary. Jesus Christ. All right, here's the news of this event. I know you've probably heard it before, but I don't know how much you could have gotten from television news, which is a medium of time, and they have to sell commercials, you know. 49 people killed in shootings at two mosques in Central Christchurch, New Zealand, in a terror attack that the Prime Minister of that country, Jacinda Ardern, described as, quote, an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence, end quote. Officials said one man in his late 20s had been charged with murder and that two explosive devices were found attached to a vehicle that they had stopped. A Muslim leader in New Zealand said the attack was especially shocking as it took place during Friday prayers. The gunman streamed a live video of the attack on Facebook, and he had posted a manifesto online. New Zealand's police commissioner, Mike Bush, said in an evening news conference that 41 people had been killed at Al Noor Mosque and seven more killed at Linwood Mosque, and that another victim had died at a local hospital. Trump is their model. Trump, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose. Trump. David Meats, the chief executive of the Canterbury District Health Board in New Zealand, said that 48 people, including young children, were being treated for gunshots at the hospital. The wounds range from critical to minor. The police said that actually four people, three men and one woman, had been taken into custody. Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, said that one of them is Australian. Mr. Bush New Zealand's police commissioner said that a man in his late 20s had been charged with murder and would appear in Christchurch court on Saturday morning, which is just about now. A number of firearms were recovered from the scenes of the shootings. Of the three others who were detained, the three men and one woman, I'm sorry, four others, the police said one might have had nothing to do with the attack, and the police were working to determine how the others might have been involved. None of those detained was on security watch lists. The police commissioner in New Zealand earlier urged people not to go to mosques anywhere in New Zealand. On Friday, he also urged mosques nationally to, quote, close your doors until you hear from us again, end quote. The 17-minute video posted to Facebook shows part of the attack. The clip was taken from a helmet camera worn by the gunman, begins behind the wheel of a car. The man, whose face can occasionally be seen in the rearview mirror, drives through the streets of Christchurch before pulling up in front of Al Noor Mosque. He approaches the mosque on foot, his weapon visible, and begins shooting at people at the entrance. What follows is nearly 2 minutes of his slaughter of worshipers. At one point, the gunman exits the mosque and fires in both directions down the sidewalk before returning to his car for another gun, which, like the others, was inscribed with numbers, symbols, messages. When he reenters the mosque, he shoots several bodies at close range. After another few minutes, he returns to his vehicle and drives away. He says at one point, as the sirens of an emergency response vehicle blare in the background, the killer says, quote, "There wasn't even time to aim. There were just so many targets." Before the shooting, someone appearing to be the gunman posted links to a white nationalist manifesto on Twitter and 8chan, the online forum known for extremist right-wing discussions. The 8chan post includes a link to what appears to be the gunman's Facebook page, where he said he would and did broadcast his slaughter live. And the Twitter post showed weapons covered in the names of past military generals and men who had recently carried out mass shootings against Jews and Muslims. In his manifesto, he identifies himself as a 28-year-old man born in Australia and listed his white nationalist heroes, writing that he had purposely used guns to stir discord in the United States over the Second Amendment's provision on the right to bear arms. He also declared himself a fascist. "For once," he wrote, "the person that will be called a fascist is an actual fascist," end quote. For once? No. Trump is a fascist. Hannity is a fascist. Limbaugh is a fascist. All of these fuckers are fascists. Over the past 18 months, tech companies have promised stronger safeguards to ensure that violent content is not distributed through their sites. It's a fucking joke. But those safeguards were not enough to stop the posting of the video and manifesto related to Friday's shooting. Social media companies have invested in systems to eliminate these kinds of videos, with Facebook reporting last year that more than 99% of terrorism content by ISIS and Al-Qaeda was found and removed through AI. A Facebook spokeswoman offered condolences to the victims and said the company was, quote, "receiving any praise or support for the crime and the shooter or shooters as soon as we're aware." Removing, not receiving. Removing praise or support for the crime and the shooter as soon as we're aware it's on our media. Nasreen Hanif, a spokeswoman for the Islamic Women's Council of New Zealand, said that little news was coming through about whether friends and relatives in Christchurch were safe, and that the country's Muslims were anxious for updates. She said, quote, "Nobody's answering their phones. We don't know if they're at the hospital or out of reach. Some have posted they're safe, but others have not," end quote. She added that because the affected mosques remain cordoned off with bodies inside, people feared that their relatives or friends were among the dead. President Erdogan of Turkey said that three Turkish citizens were wounded in the attack. The PLO's ambassador to New Zealand said at least one Palestinian was killed. And the group Syrian Solidarity New Zealand said on its Facebook page that, quote, "Syrian refugees, including children, have been shot," end quote. A site managed by the International Committee of the Red Cross listed dozens of people who had been recorded as missing including people from Egypt, Syria, India, Kuwait, Jordan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Somalia. And then you have a Trump-sucking freak fuck in the Australian Parliament, a senator named, a senator named Fraser Anning, a member of the conservative Katter's Australian Party. He got condemnation at home and abroad for linking the attack to Muslim immigration. He had tweeted, quote, "Does anyone still dispute the link between Muslim immigration and violence?" What a fucking, I mean, rebukes quickly followed from the highest levels of government in Australia and abroad, most of which are hypocritical as hell. Prime Minister Scott Morrison tweeted, Prime Minister of Australia, quote, "The remarks by Senator Fraser Anning blaming the murderous attack by a violent right-wing extremist terrorist in New Zealand on immigration are disgusting. Those views have no place in Australia, let alone the Australian Parliament." Oh, big fucking deal. Like, what are you going to do? Fire him? Sajid Javid, the British Home Secretary, said that Mr. Anning had fanned, quote, "the flames of violence and extremism. Australians will be utterly ashamed of this racist man," end quote. Anning, the Australian senator, drew similar complaints last year for invoking a Nazi euphemism during a speech in Parliament calling for, quote, "a final solution to the immigration problem." This is another Trump supporter. They're all over the fucking planet. Trump came up out of hell. I've said before, these fucking Christians in this country have been warning in their insanity and their bullshit and their superstitions. They've been talking about the Antichrist for two millennia. And then they create him and here he is and they fucking make him president? The Christians in this country backed Trump 85%, 89%. Christians, white Christians, let me make the distinction. Ms. Ardern, the New Zealand Prime Minister, called Friday, quote, "one of New Zealand's darkest days." She said, "what happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. Many of those affected may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here. They are one of us. The person who has perpetrated these acts is not." End quote. Trump would say just the opposite. That piece of orange shit that is the President of the United States ordered his brain-dead fucking zombie woman press secretary to issue a statement. "The United States strongly condemns the attack in Christchurch." Sarah Super Christian Huckabee Sanders, that's the best she could come up with. Queen Elizabeth sent her condolences to New Zealand, which is part of the British Commonwealth, with the typical thoughts and prayers horseshit. Aman Singh, you can tell by his name, he's Hindu, who works at a convenience store close to one of the mosques, said he had heard the gunshots, and that shortly afterward, people had streamed past the shop, bloody and crying. Mr. Singh, who is 26, said he knew several people who worshipped at the mosque. He added, Quote, my really good friend goes there. Mr. Singh, who moved to New Zealand from India 4.5 years ago, was hiding in the store with his wife, waiting for the police to arrive at their location. He said he and his wife would be unlikely to return home soon because the streets were cordoned off and he was afraid to leave his shop. Murders are rare in New Zealand, and homicides by gun are even rarer. There were 35 murders in the entire country in 2017. Fuck, that's an afternoon in the United States. No, I'm sorry. That's the first 3 hours of the afternoon in the United States. And since 2007, gun homicides have been in the single digits each year, except the year 2009, when there were 11. But there are plenty of guns. There were 1.2 million registered firearms in a country of 4.5 million people in 2017. New Zealand law allows any person age 16 or older with an entry-level firearm license to keep any number of common rifles and shotguns. Most guns can be purchased in New Zealand without being tracked by law enforcement officials. A person who is associated with gunpolicy.org, a project hosted by the University of Sydney, said, quote, New Zealand is almost alone with the United States in not registering 96% of its firearms. And those are its most common firearms, the ones most used in crimes. There are huge gaps in New Zealand law, even if some of its laws are strong, end quote. Why, then, is murder an afternoon delight in this country, and in New Zealand, gun murders are usually, it for the entire country, for the entire year, in single digits? This is a Christian nation, don't forget. Run by a Christian Nazi, don't forget. A mass shooting in New Zealand in 1990 when a man killed 13 people, including 2 6-year-olds, after a dispute with his neighbor, led directly to tightened gun laws, including restrictions on so-called military-style semi-automatic weapons. Semi-automatic weapons in New Zealand require a special license and can be bought only one at a time. The man from the university there said he also predicted new restrictions in the aftermath of this terrorist attack. He said, quote, I can't think of a country that's more likely to change its gun laws after something like this. Not the United States. Right now, today, Friday, even as we speak, stores that sell guns are having a run on sales. They're just fucking spiking. This always happens. There is something horrifying that's going to happen here. I feel it, don't you? Don't forget, this is what the shooter said. He called President Trump, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose. But the gunman mocked Trump as a policymaker and leader. He's neither. And even this sick fuck understands that. But that's not why people in this country look to Trump. The white Christians look to Trump in this country because of the way he's stacking the federal judiciary with neo-fascist judges. Oh, they love him for that. And the crazy right-wing fuckers in this country love Trump not because he's a political leader or a policymaker, but because he is, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, which is murder. Murder. Trump. Fucking Trump. And what are we doing about it in this country? Nothing. Nothing. What will we do about it when a spasm of violence hits this country that will have at its roots easily discernible tracks back to this sick fuck who's in the White House? What are we going to do then? Nothing. Nothing. Take a break, Kathy. One of the people who commented on all of this slaughter was Geraldo, believe it or not. He was on the Sewer Network this morning. And he said, in his opinion, that the perpetrator was, quote, a crazy mass murdering fiend who was motivated by the immigration crisis, end quote. Well, you know, I have trouble with the term immigration crisis. In the first place, these immigrants, this massive flow across the planet of immigrants, the flow is coming because of the policies by the world powers who are in control. Because of our wars and our violence, and it's not just the United States, but we're the primary offender. Also, these immigration crises are caused by droughts and storms and flooding that is a direct result of global warming that the people of the planet, the leadership of the planet, refuse to take seriously. Oh, yeah, I know. There was the Paris Accords, which don't amount to horseshit. They're meaningless. Because even if every country who signed on to those accords were to absolutely achieve what the accords called for, the planet continues to heat up. It's bullshit. There are ways to stop global warming, but that was not one of them. But I digress. That's what's causing. There's several issues that are causing this flow of migrants, lousy economic conditions, global warming, wars within their countries started by political radicals or terrorists from different countries. Rivera told the idiots on Fox and Friends this morning, in talking about the people who were murdered, he said, quote, those were sitting ducks. Those are people who are praying. They're targets. They have no defense. He added, there are more murders in those two mosques in New Zealand this morning than there are in New Zealand over the course of an entire year. He added, Geraldo added, quote, the manifesto that this sick fuck wrote and then posted to some of Trump's favorite websites. He said the manifesto seems to indicate this particular crazy mass murdering fiend was motivated by the immigration crisis. He said that he's a white nationalist, a 28-year-old Australian white nationalist. He added, this was a butcher out to get a butcher's bill. And indeed, if there were three or four perpetrators, this is a very, very serious attack. They're all white nationalists. That's an escalation of the violence that is horrifying. That's one thing I could never understand about Geraldo. I realize that he is he's become kind of a figure of comedy because of some of the shit that he pulled. He used to be a pretty good reporter. I don't know why he adopted a Puerto Rican name. His name is Jerry Rivers. He is Jewish. He is a target of the white nationalists, of the Christian white nationalists, because he doesn't always follow the party line. He shows up on Fox. I believe he was run out of one of the other cable networks. But he shows up on Fox. Sometimes he argues with the morons and the imbeciles that are sitting there. But Jerry, you're a Jew. Don't you understand that you are a target of these people? I think I'm going to talk about the kids who are protesting globally today during the next hour, because this also popped up early this morning. North Korea is threatening to end the talks with the U.S. about nuclear weaponry and resume their tests. The way it's reported, North Korea threatened on Friday to suspend negotiations with the Trump administration and said its leader, Kim Jong-un, would soon decide whether to resume nuclear tests and missile tests. Addressing diplomats and foreign correspondents at a news conference in Pyongyang, the North Korean capital, like we don't know that, Vice Foreign Minister Cho Sun-hui said that personal relations between Mr. Kim and Mr. Trump were, quote, still good and the chemistry is mysteriously wonderful, end quote. Mysteriously wonderful. Because Kim and Trump see the world the same way. But the foreign minister added that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, Trump's national security advisor, together had created, quote, an atmosphere of hostility and mistrust that got in the way of the negotiations in Hanoi last month. Ms. Cho, the vice foreign minister, added, quote, we have neither the intention to compromise with the U.S. in any form, nor much less the desire or plan to conduct this kind of negotiation. About the North Koreans giving up their nuclear program. They are simply not going to do it, and for the reason that I've stated on this podcast over and over and over again. North Korea was almost turned into a moonscape by the United States during the Korean War. 2 million North Koreans were slaughtered. Their electric grid was destroyed. Their water supply system was bombed into nothing. North Korea will never, ever stop its nuclear program. Never. Because as far as they are concerned, and they're probably very correct, the only way to hold off the insanity that is U.S. foreign policy is to make goddamn good and sure that the Americans understand one thing. You fuck with us, the missiles fly. End of story. Ms. Cho said the North might end its self-imposed moratorium on tests of nuclear weapons and long-range missiles. She said, quote, "Whether to maintain this moratorium or not is the decision of the chairman of the State Affairs Commission." That's Kim Jong-un, one of his many titles. "He will make this decision in a short period of time," end quote. In a briefing with reporters today, Pompeo tried to lower the tension related to Ms. Cho's comments, saying there was nothing more than rhetorical speed bumps that tend to follow summit meetings. And to make the point, Pompeo noted that he had been assigned a gangster-like reputation by the North Koreans. They have him figured out, don't they? We're going to take a break. I'll be back for the second hour. And also during the second hour, we are going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, what the changes are to the Molloy podcast that begin Monday. Stick around. I'll be right back. Johnny wants to think of a joke. Okay, before we get back into the day's horrors, I think it would be appropriate right now for me to tell you what these changes are going to be. As you know, my career has been in radio. That's where I've worked most of my working life, except for the time with CNN. And then the time that I was a drug smuggler, that was different. But for the most part, legitimate work, it's been in radio. Radio has a certain format, and the format is similar with every commercial radio station broadcasting. Then we switched to podcast. And at the beginning, what we tried to do was maintain a radio approach to podcasting. And after a number of years of this, of podcasting and having it play over the internet, I've come to realize that this is just not working for us, and I don't think it's working for our subscribers. So the first change that we're going to make, instead of a two-hour podcast, starting Monday, the Molloy podcast will be 1 hour, which is in keeping with the standard format for podcasts. Radio wants 2 or 3 hours from, and some television does too, from its talk shows. But again, keeping in mind this is not a talk show. We for the most part, don't, and for the foreseeable future, won't take any incoming phone calls. It'll be strictly a podcast, like every other podcast is structured. So beginning Monday coming, this program will be on. We'll continue to be with the Progressive Voices Network on the internet. And you can still hear it live for free by tuning to the Progressive Voices Network at 9 o'clock Eastern time at night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And you can listen to Progressive Voices. Now, you can get there by going to our website, right, Kathy? MikeMolloy.com. That will give you a shortcut to Progressive Voices, I think. I haven't been to my website in months. In the meantime, the website has been or is in the process or is completed. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to George, our webmaster, today, of being completely refigured. There is going to be something there called very soon, the merchandise. What's it called? The merch?
Merchandise. Yeah, the store.
Yeah, merch store, a merchandise store, online store. We did this back in the days of talk radio where you could buy Molloy stuff if you were so inclined, whether it's a T-shirt or a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a carrying bag. Or there'll be all sorts of stuff in that merchandise store. That's not set up yet, but that's coming. Now, that's going to be handled, by the way, by the same people who are publishing our book. So it'll all be one happy family. All right, let me go back again, because now I got some more important things to tell you about the new structure. Starting Monday coming, the Malloy podcast will be live 1 hour from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribers can listen to it anytime they like, but it will be a 1 hour podcast. Let me repeat it, a 1 hour podcast. Now, we're adding something as an extra bonus, though, and that is going to be, in addition to the 1 hour daily podcast, we're going to have a 1 hour weekend bonus podcast for subscribers only. That will not be going out over the internet. That will be accessible only through our website, or I guess through our website. Yeah, only to subscribers, right. I said that. Only subscribers will get that 1 hour weekend bonus show. Now, that won't always necessarily be political. As a matter of fact, I may be inclined to do something funny or odd or something to get away from this Trump madness. Jesus. So, starting Monday, the Malloy podcast is a 1 hour online podcast you can access for free from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time by going to our website.
And video.
And that will include video. The 1 hour podcast is video, including audio. Now, in addition, we have a 1 hour weekend bonus show for subscribers only that you'll be able to access at our website. Now, the price structure for subscriptions, we're changing that too. Here's the way it will start when you renew your subscription, or if you're a new subscriber, this begins immediately. For 1 year of the Malloy podcast, both audio and video, $49.95. Now, that's a hell of a cut. We had been selling audio and video for $99.95, so we're dropping it 50%. Let me repeat that, 50% cut for both audio and video, $49.95 a year. Now, we hope you will jump on that. If you don't jump on it, well, I have something for you for the next month. Until April 15th, which is tax day, you can get that subscription, both audio and video, for $29.95 a year. Pick yourself up off the floor and let me repeat it. $29.95, that's just under $30, for Christ's sake, for a year of the Malloy podcast, audio and video. Now, that's only good until April 15th. So if you are inclined to subscribe, now is the, I mean, what the hell? Now is the time to do it. Get that. From $99.95 or whatever it was a year for audio and video down to $29.95 a year for audio and video. Now, in order to get the $29.95 a year price, of course, you have to do it between now and April 15th. If you come in after April 15th, well, it goes way up to where we've knocked 50% off instead of 70%. The 50% off is $49.95 a year for both audio and video. Now, don't be confused. Well, you know, I get the feeling some of you are looking at your device now going, what the hell is he talking about? Let me try it one more time. Our new subscription cost for everybody is $49.95 a year for both audio and video, $49.95 a year. When you go to renew your subscription that you've been paying $100 a year for, it's going to drop by 50% down to $49.95 a year. Now, the reason we're doing that is because we're cutting the time that we're on the air by 50%. Hello? That's why we're doing it. Not on the air, but I mean on the podcast. So, $49.95 a year for both audio and video. However, if you subscribe before April 15th, it's only $29.95 a year for both audio and video. Okay? And for subscribers, you also will get that one-hour weekend bonus show. Now, if you want to pay monthly, and we have subscribers who do, that's going to be, what is it now? Yeah, the price, if you prefer monthly, is the same, $9.95 a month.
No,
we're dropping it to $7.95 a month. Okay. So even there, you have a reduction. Yeah, it was $9.95. Now it's $7.95 if you prefer to pay monthly. $7.95 a month. That gets you audio and video. Any subscription to the Malloy podcast from starting the 15th includes both audio and video. And then the last thing, the sponsorships. As you know, we cut the price on that from $100 to $50 on a temporary basis. We decided to leave it there. $50 for a sponsorship. Now, what that sponsorship gets you right now is, you know, your mention on the program or on the podcast a couple of times. Obviously, we can't do it three times an hour because we're only going to be there an hour, but at least a couple of times. Now, subsequent sponsorships will include maybe something from the merchandise store at no cost to you. But right now, the sponsorships are $50. However, if you sponsor between now and April 15th, it's only $25. What? Another 50% cut? Yes. So whereas sponsorships used to be $100, between now and the 15th of April, they are $25. Well, Mike, that's 75% reduction. Exactly. Isn't that wonderful? After April 15th, if you sponsor the hour program, then it will be $50. But between now and the 15th of April, $25. Now, I hope as you listen to this, you're reaching for your checkbook or your PayPal or whatever it is you use to take advantage of this. $49.95 a year for both audio and video. But if you subscribe before the 15th of April, it's only $29.95 for an entire year. Jesus. Can we afford this?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Of course we can. $29.95 a year until April 15th. Then it goes back to the new normal, $49.95 a year. If you want to pay monthly, that's down to $7.95 a month. Sponsorships are down, will stay down at $50, but will be $25 until April 15th. Any questions? Well, obviously you can't ask me a question because you're not hearing this live. So, starting March 18th, this coming Monday, one-hour podcast, 9 to 10 Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices online network. You can access it by going to MikeMalloy.com. There will also be a one-hour weekend bonus show for subscribers only. Okay? Isn't all this just so exciting? You just want to run outside in your underwear and jump up and down and scream about it? Huh? Go ahead. Does your microphone work? Oh, my God.
Yes, I actually fixed my microphone as my printer's going off in the background. So both happened at the same time. Sorry about that. I wanted to mention that our next Truth Seeker Mountain Getaway will be June the 7th. And it will be in the North Georgia Mountains. You will be able to fly into a city other than Atlanta, probably Chattanooga or Knoxville, to get to where we're going. We'll have an announcement about that soon, but if you wanted to, because I just wanted to finalize these details before giving them all to you, but if you want to mark your calendar, save the date, that will be two nights, June 7th and June 8th, in the North Georgia Mountains, not terribly far from where we were the last time, but slightly different. So I hope you whet your appetite a little bit, and we'll have more information for you next week. Also, I wanted to just recap what Mike was saying about the sponsorships and the podcast. We broke ties with our business partner at the beginning of the year. So all of this money, literally, there is no middleman. This is a direct support of this program, Mike and Kathy, straight into Mike and Kathy merchant account. So Mike and Kathy pay the bills to keep everything going. So there is no third party anymore. That's why we are relying on you to help us out and keep us going. If you're interested in keeping this program on your podcast machine, this is the way to do it. And tell your friends. And the sponsorships are for businesses, too. Your small products, your small businesses. We will be in advertising. We are happy to talk about advertising for good quality products like Nova Joint and Helen Hollers, God bless her soul, who's no longer with us, but something like that. We would love to, a coffee, Blue Tribe coffee, anything like that. Please email me, Kathy@MikeMalloy.com. That's Kathy with a K at MikeMalloy.com, in case you haven't known over the years. And I look forward to hearing from you about that. But it's just me and Mike and our webmaster, George, from here on out, and we're excited to stay with you around the campfire as long as we can.
I just wanted to mention a couple things that we were talking about right before the top of the hour break. And that is the announcement by the North Korean government that they are probably going to go ahead and resume their missile tests and their bomb testing, their nuclear bomb testing. Because of the idiocy of Trump and his foreign policy team now that consists primarily of Mike Pompeo, who is about as right-wing as you can get in the United States without being a full-blown fascist, and the war criminal John Bolton, who should have been put in prison a long time ago for his involvement in the slaughter of 2 million Iraqi civilians. But the two of them, Pompeo and Bolton, have totally screwed up the situation. They're the ones that told Trump to leave. And Trump didn't. I mean, he was like a mouse at a convention of cats. You know, the way he snuck out of Vietnam, it's just incredible. Pompeo said that Kim, the leader of North Korea, had made multiple promises during the Hanoi summit meeting, promises to the Orange Bastard that he, Kim, would take steps to wind down his nuclear program. And despite what the North Korean government is saying now, which is more or less telling Pompeo, Bolton, and Trump to go fuck themselves, Pompeo said that the Trump gangsters would continue to take Kim at his word, as if Kim's word was worth the powder to blow it to hell. It's just like Donald Trump's word. Mexico, build the wall. Donald Trump's wall isn't worth the powder to blow it to hell. Donald Trump's word. So we have two world-class liars, Trump and Kim, lying to each other. In the meantime, what are we supposed to do? Oh, and in the middle, you have one certifiable war criminal and one who wants to be. That's our foreign policy negotiating team for the United States now. Nobody on the fucking planet believes anything that Trump, Bolton, or Pompeo say. Nothing. They play along with it because of this bullshit diplomatic nicety that everybody's supposed to follow, not much longer, because Trump is destroying that too. So liars in the Kim administration, murderous liars in the Trump administration are fucking negotiating, right? Huh? You believe that? Oh, don't be a fool. Let me make your prediction right now. Within 90 days, if that long, the North Koreans will resume their nuclear testing and their missile testing. They will never, under any circumstances, ever, under any circumstances, yeah, I repeated it twice, ever give up their nuclear program for the reasons I've stated several times. By the way, the office of South Korea's president, Moon Jae-in, who did much to arrange those talks between North Korea and Trump. It wasn't Trump. It was the leader of South Korea. Said that it, the government of South Korea, is closely monitoring this entire situation. A government statement said, quote, whatever the situation, our government, South Korea, will try its best to help resume North Korea-U.S. negotiations. And you and I both know that that is a cover-your-ass statement from the South Korean government, which what do we expect them to do? They are the ones under the barrels of the guns of North Korea. And then, I'm getting all this information on the New York Times. Then it says this, the breakdown of the Hanoi meeting revealed a wide gap between North Korea and the United States over how to proceed with denuclearization. The people who write for the Post and the Times especially are not dumbasses. They're highly educated journalists. And I wonder what they think when they write a sentence like that that ends with over how to proceed with denuclearization. They know, as well as I know, and you know, that North Korea will never denuclearize. It will not happen. It's just not going to happen. But I guess they have to write the sentences. It goes on to say North Korea insisted, as it has before, on moving in phases. In Hanoi, Kim offered to dismantle the plutonium, uranium enrichment, and other facilities at its Yongbyon site north of Pyongyang and demanded that Washington, in return, lift crucial sanctions that have been imposed on the North since 2016. Mr. Trump rejected the offer, demanding more substantial steps towards denuclearization. Well, just remember what Cousin Mike told you over and over and over again, that North Korea will never, ever, ever denuclearize. It cannot. It simply cannot. It is an existential issue for them. They will not ever, under any circumstances, ever, ever, ever make themselves vulnerable to the United States, especially when the United States is being led by a psychopathic moron like Donald Trump, who is a liar, as much of a liar as Kim. Can you imagine two world-class liars meeting in Hanoi, bullshitting each other with their little table of advisors on each side of the table with them. Everybody sitting at that table lying through his fucking ass. Every single person at that table lying. Lying. In the span of just months, children around the world have pushed the issue of climate change discussion into the heart of policy debates at countries all over the place. CBS News is reporting this today. Well, actually, yesterday. Kids are pushing the issue out there for mainstream media and public conversation. There are some youth-led efforts. One is called the Sunrise Movement. The other one is the Youth Climate Strike. And then there's a lawsuit, Juliana versus the United States. I'll tell you more about that in a second. At the forefront of one of the efforts, a 16-year-old Swedish climate activist named Greta Thunberg. She has compelled, this is according to Leah Kuzba, the deputy director of Alliance for Climate Education, which is a nonprofit education organization. That woman said that this 16-year-old, quote, has compelled the EU's Jean-Claude Juncker to dedicate every fourth euro to be spent between 2021 and 2027 to climate action. That is trans leading youth movement building into real political action. So, the kids whose future is what climate change is all about. There either will be a future or there will not. As it stands right now, there will not. There will not be a future for people who are right now 14 years old. That includes my daughter. This really fucks with my head. I mean, it really does. It includes my grandchildren. It includes your nieces and nephews. It includes your grandchildren if you have them. They do not have a future, and I don't give a fuck what Donald Trump or the carbon fuel industry, what lies they tell. That is a given. The science is happening right in front of our eyes, and we are determined to stand here with our eyes wide shut. I cannot get it. Today, the youth climate strike movement has arrived on U.S. soil. This didn't start here. It started in civilized parts of the world, not here. Young people across the U.S. are planning to skip school to call for action on climate change. Now, the co-leader of the U.S. protest event, Alexandria Villasenor. She's a 13-year-old. She's the co-leader of the U.S. event. She said 400 strikes, student strikes, were planned nationwide today. If you are listening to this podcast on Friday, you probably have seen the video of some of these strikes. Over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday approaching, there will be more video of these strikes. Here's what this 13-year-old said. She said the movement's mission statement is this: we are striking because if the social order is disrupted by our refusal to attend school, then the system is forced to face the climate crisis and enact change. With our futures at stake, we call for radical legislative action to combat climate change and its countless detrimental effects on the American people. Now remember, this is the USA branch of this movement. Now, what is she talking about? She's doing exactly, to a much lesser degree, because these kids have yet developed the ability or the media power to motivate the adults. In fact, what this represents is a generational battle. Young people fighting us because we have fucked things up almost, maybe not quite, to the point of total annihilation of most life on the planet. Now, you know, those statements sound so overblown, don't they? But if you look at the science, if you listen to what the scientists are telling us, if you look at the results, if you look at the oceans heating up, if you look at the weather patterns becoming hideously destructive, if you look at the coral reefs dying, I mean, just on and on. The scientific evidence is everywhere, except for those of us who, with our eyes wide open, are pretending we're blind and we don't see it. Especially if you're religious. If you're a Christian, you just don't see it. Oh, no, well, God would never do that. You crazy fuckers. She said, we are striking because if the social order is disrupted by our refusal to attend school, then the system is forced to face the climate crisis and enact change. No. You're almost right, Alexandria. If the social order is disrupted by your refusal to attend school in the first place, the way so many adults will set this up is, for the kids who attend school, it's an unexcused absence that may lower your grades. So they use blackmail and pressure to get the kids to go along with the adult bullshit. You skip school, you're really in trouble. But if I skip school, I'm trying to make an essential political point. Doesn't matter. Write a letter to your representative. Are you fucking kidding me? So Alexandria and the rest of the U.S. protest event have the right idea. Disrupting the normal political social flow of events of a given day in the United States. But you cannot disrupt that flow by having several tens of thousands of students not attend school. That's a start. And good on the kids who are doing this, because they see it with the eyes of the young. That's my life. That's my future. That's my kids if I want to have them. That's everything is out there. And you adults have fucked it, and you're continuing to fuck it, and you won't even listen. So we're going out on strike. But it takes 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 the number of people, the students that will come out in today's protests. It takes that number of students to the 10th power, to the 20th power. All right, not the 20th. There aren't that many people on Earth, I know. To the 10th power, anyway. That's the number of people who have to take to the streets. You don't have to carry signs and banners. You don't have to set fire to police trucks. You don't have to do any of that fucking violent shit. All we have to do is go to the streets and stand there. That's it. Make the machine stop. That's all. That's all. Let me find it. Let me find it. Yeah, I know. We don't have to do anything. That's the part of the protests that I've been talking about for so long, is that the amount of energy required is so minimal. Mario Savio, Sproul Hall, University of California, Berkeley, 1964. There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all of the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people to own it, that unless you're free, in this instance from global climate disruption, unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. That was 50 plus years ago, 60 years ago, 65 years ago, for Christ's sake. Something like that. That Mario Savio said that in a different context, but it applies now to global climate change. The machine that is destroying everything is this machine of predatory capitalism. Fossil fuels that are just destroying everything. And the kids see this. Older people don't, because older people go blind, deaf, and dumb. And then there's this. Civil disobedience, which is what these kids will be doing, which is what millions of us should be doing. God damn it, this frustrates me. Civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. Our problem is that people all over the world have obeyed the dictates of leaders, and millions have been killed because of this obedience. Our problem is that people are obedient all over the world in the face of poverty and starvation and stupidity and war and cruelty and global climate change. Our problem is that people are obedient while the jails are full of petty thieves and the grand thieves are running the country. That is the problem. Jesus Christ. One more, and this one from the Nazi leader in Germany. The great strength of the totalitarian state is that it forces those who fear it to imitate it. And that's what we're doing. We are imitating the totalitarian state. We are doing nothing when action is required. And it's not action of running through the streets with our hair on fire. It's action of taking the streets and stopping. That's all. That's all. Yeah, I know. I'm screaming and yelling and frothing at the mouth. I understand, but I understand that that's off-putting. But I don't know how. I cannot say this shit calmly and quietly. I just can't do it. I can't do it. The issue at stake here is existence. We're facing something we've never faced. Even global thermonuclear war mathematically allows for some survivors of some species, maybe even humans. But global climate change does not. It does not. You can't breathe a mixture of air that becomes predominantly carbon dioxide to the point where your body can't function. Then you fucking die. You die. Do you get that? You die. Oxygen is what it takes. I'm so sick of this. And we have people out here who say, well, I'm not going to vaccinate my children because I'm not going to have the state tell me what to do. You crazy fuckers, you. You crazy sons of bitches. You put your kids at risk to die from diseases that are easily avoided here in the land of the free and the home of the fucking brain dead. Easily avoided, but you won't do it, will you? Now! And where it concerns global climate change, oh, fuck that. You're going to have your brand new SUV, aren't you? Yes! Alexandria Villasenor, the 13-year-old co-leader of the U.S. protest movement, has a mother. Her mother's name is Kristen Hoge. Ms. Hoge said that over just a few weeks, her daughter has processed media requests at a pace more typical of rock stars or A-list celebrities, over 200 and counting media requests for media appearances. A professor of political science and environmental studies, University of Colorado at Boulder, one Steve Vanderheiden, said that today's youth were born into a climate-changed world and that it's part of their consciousness. And their clarity, the clarity of these kids and the authenticity of these kids, that's what the media magnet is. They don't have a political agenda. Their agenda is fucking life. Life. Not like these Christian fucks who want to tell you, ah, well, you don't touch the pee toy. Don't touch it. These kids are about life. The professor said, quote, that some of these kids would get media attention for expressing this concern should not be surprising, especially given how eloquently and poignantly some of them have been able to express it. Eloquently and poignantly. Because we, the older generations, are murdering them. Do you not fucking get that? They do. They do. They know they are being slowly killed. And that any chance for them to have children, killed. And like I said earlier, even the idea of grandchildren, gone. Do I yell and scream and get fucked up? Yes, I do. Kids are inherently creative and tirelessly passionate. They show up. They rally for what they want. Unlike us adults who don't have the fucking motivation to pick one day, one fucking day out of the year, one day to walk out of everything. Places of worship, schools, the factories, office buildings, homes. Walk out. Go to the street. Don't move. We can't even do that. The attitude of these kids, it's the same just-do-it attitude that has propelled something that the older people and the Nazis in this country and the white supremacists are poo-pooing, led by this fucking monster in the White House, Donald Trump, and that's the Green New Deal movement. That's been propelled onto the U.S. political stage. All the Green New Deal is, it seeks to shift the U.S. economy to rely solely on renewable energy by the year 2030. That's the Green New Deal that all of these white male Christian politicians in this country are treating like some vile fucking disease. The Green New Deal simply says within the next 10 years, and it can be done, we get off of fossil fuels and onto renewables. That's all. And the right wingers now are saying, well, they want to take away our hamburgers. You fucking liars. There's nothing you can tell the truth about, is there? The Green New Deal is often associated with the rookie lawmaker AOC, as she's referred to, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But it is rooted in the work of the Sunrise Movement, the youth group, the Sunrise. The Green New Deal, it says here, has amassed over 100 co-sponsors in the House and Senate, including most of the Democratic presidential hopefuls. Do you suppose that these co-sponsors are sincere, or are they trying to attach themselves to something that is politically attractive? I hope it's the former. Well, Vanderheiden, he's the guy who, Stephen Vanderheiden, see that, the professor of political and environmental science, University of Colorado, Boulder, and who is commenting on this stuff. He doubts there will be any major congressional action on climate in the next 2 years. But he said success has to be measured differently. He said this, quote, I would define social movement success as mostly in the agenda setting and public pressure phases. And these youth movements have been effective at keeping these issues on the agenda, gaining allies among some elected officials and bringing pressure on others. End quote. Lisa Hymas, who tracks media coverage of climate change as director of the Climate Energy Program at the not-for-profit Media Matters for America, she said, quote, we saw climate coverage start trending up in some outlets after the February release of the Green New Deal resolution. Younger Americans are now changing the game by calling for dramatic action and demanding attention, end quote. And attention is what they got when Saturday Night Live parodied a recent interaction between Senator Feinstein and students. Last month, Feinstein, who is part of this corrupt fucking older generation, her husband has been a lobbyist for carbon-based... what am I trying to say? He's a big lobbyist for the military, too. Feinstein had a heated exchange with a group of middle and high school students who asked her to support the Green New Deal. A clip of the exchange went viral, where Dianne Feinstein, who doesn't have much longer on this planet, she will soon die, as I will, as most older people will. We will soon be dead. These kids are just starting. Another example, it says here, the youth movement's momentum is the attention one legal action recently got from 60 Minutes, CBS's 60 Minutes. An episode that aired March 3rd highlighted Giuliana versus the United States. That's a youth-led climate change lawsuit filed on behalf of 21 kids. In the words of correspondent, 60 Minutes correspondent Steve Croft, quote, of all the cases working their way through the federal court system, none is more interesting or potentially more life-changing than Giuliana versus United States. To quote one federal judge, quote, this is no ordinary lawsuit. Michael Girard, who directs the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University, thinks the chance that this case, Giuliana versus the United States, will ultimately win in the Supreme Court is slim. No, it's not slim. It's zero. But Mr. Girard believes it is it's succeeding in winning over public opinion. And if you want to know what it is, rather than my trying to get into it right now, look it up. Giuliana versus the United States. That's the lawsuit. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with me. I'm Mike Malone. So to start a recap, yesterday in Australia, urban temperature records were broken again. And Australia has been experiencing a years-long, drought that across parts of that country, farmland has been turned into wasteland, into desert. High school students there rallied against the driving force behind rising temperatures, climate change. In their third week, the Belgian protests against inaction on climate change drew more than 30,000 high school and university students to Brussels, which is about triple the number of protesters last week. One of the signs at the march in Belgium, according to the Associated Press, read, quote, "This planet can do without us, but we cannot do without the planet." Many of the protests are inspired by a 16-year-old climate change activist, Greta Thunberg, who I mentioned earlier, who skipped school last year to protest in front of the Swedish parliament, demanding more decisive action where it concerns climate change. Ms. Thunberg and others have pointed out in interviews and at rallies that their generation is protesting government action, inaction on climate change, because they are the ones who will live with the effects. They are the ones who will die from the effects. A recent UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, which reviewed about 6,000 scientific studies. There's that science again, huh? The study found that some of the worst repercussions of global warming, including sea level rise, widespread droughts, mass extinction of vulnerable species, will become reality for much of the world's population as early as 2040. You will probably be around then. That's 20 years from now. Most babies born now won't have completed college by then. And look what they're going to face. Since Ms. Thunberg's first public appearance, tens of thousands of students in Belgium, Germany, Switzerland, Australia, and other countries have followed her example. Rallies earlier this month drew thousands of students in more than 50 German cities. Where are the adults in the United States? Meanwhile, in France, a less noticed campaign on the opposite side of the political spectrum has also gained momentum. More than 26,000 students so far have pledged in an online manifesto that they will never work for companies they deem to be heavy polluters, which they hope will shame companies into becoming more forceful players against global warming. Now, when I say the opposite side of the political spectrum in France, who I'm talking about, there was a backlash there against an emissions reduction plan put in place by the government that triggered what was known as the Yellow Vest Movement. Remember that? Adults were so fucking stupid as to not realize they were protesting in favor of their own premature deaths and the deaths of their children. I'm out of energy. That's it for this week. I appreciate you spending whatever time you spent. Don't forget, come Monday, I will recap the changes. We'll be here at 9 o'clock Monday for 1 hour. That's the new Malloy podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm going straight. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.